You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
News.
Thank you, Donald. Good morning to you all. It's the Wednesday. Where's the Mike Shaw hump day thing where the camel guy goes hump, 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 hump. Mike. Remember that from the old Geico commercial? Come on, man. Where are you? Talk about Billabars and all this stuff. You're on Wake Up Tucson. It's happy hour day. We will be at Games and Gadgets Short Rest Tavern.
Oh, goodness.
Mr. Matt has his wizard robes on right now.
You weren't supposed to tell. It's radio.
He's got two crystal balls.
Thank you.
There's
a joke there somewhere.
Rocking.
Where's Josh when I need him? Come on, Hannah.
Yeah, Jacob says, listen, what do you mean me? I'm talking about our friend Josh from Caring Ministries, which Matt has sprained his finger in his on the button.
We had a great time. It was a very good discussion yesterday. Interesting and fun.
He brought a new aspect to the crime bus where literally says it's the number one way of transporting drugs in the city of Tucson. Right? Not only is there the crime of it, it's the... Barney Brenner, good morning, sir. Welcome aboard.
Sorry. Good morning. Thank you.
Welcome aboard. He literally said it's the number one way drugs are distributed throughout the city of Tucson is through the free bus, which made sense. So what we're saying is Regina Romero is enabling Fentran. Oh, my God. Nailed it. And then there's Fenlink over at the... Barney Brenner, how are you doing today?
Pretty well, sir.
So since the last time I saw you, I think you went on a cruise with Dennis Prager.
I did.
And someone took a shot at Donald Trump since the last time I saw you.
Just a few days ago.
How was your...
horrid.
Absolutely. How was your cruise before we get to Trump?
It was great, of course. You know, a very top-notch cruise line, Regent Seven Seas.
Where'd you guys go?
We started in London and went island hopping up to Orkney Island, Scotland, then Faroe Islands, then Iceland and Greenland.
Love it.
And it was a rare opportunity where Dennis got to a country for the first time. Never been to Greenland.
Okay.
So he added it to his 130-something
I'm worried about
list
that
of countries.
That
so we have one syndicated national talk show host that is not on a do not fly list that can go to the UK. So we at least have one nationally syndicated conservative talk show host that can visit UK. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, yeah. And
Dennis took the Queen Mary over.
He's not been vaccinated, so that doesn't play in. Apparently, well, that's pretty much out of fashion now.
Does Dennis drink alcohol?
Virtually none. He says it gives him a headache.
Okay. What was your favorite part of the cruise?
Well,
don't say all of it.
Iceland's fascinating. A lot of geothermal activity.
Yep.
There are waterfalls all over the place.
They had some liquid hot magma emerging from the crust in Iceland over the last several months.
Well, the interesting thing is there's a spa they built up there called the Blue Lagoon. We did go there. It's powered by geothermal water, but we lucked out in that this lava flow had gone over the road that leads into the Blue Lagoon, and they had just done a bypass road that opened the day before we were scheduled to be there.
Now, I want to ask you about the blue part of it, because we have lots of streams through the fentanyl camps that are blue. Is it the same blue, or is...
It's very pale sky blue. It's very pretty. Pretty water, full of silicates. And
what was your funnest Dennis Prager moment?
Ooh. Well, I sent you a photo of the two of us, but we got to... You know, he does a lot of lectures.
Sure.
There, private audiences, and interacting there is pretty neat. Oh, I can tell you, you know, people in the audience stand up and say where they're from, who they are and where they're from.
Yes.
The first time I did, before I got a chance to do that, I stood up and he said, "This is Barney Brenner from Tucson, Arizona."
Oh, look at you. You are like a Prager celeb.
Kinda.
Yeah. Look at him. Barney's like, "Hold my beer."
My name is in three of his books already, and a fourth going to come out later this year. His Torah commentary.
Very nice.
Fascinating stuff.
I love it. All right, we got to do a rundown before we go to break. Dan Shearer is at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get to things and other stuff. The U of A quietly drops the U Arizona horse crap. And going back to U of A and comment of the on Facebook about this, the comment of the day goes to our beloved Tia Gloria, where she says it's really tough to chant U Arizona at a basketball game. So
there's a good point.
Well played. We'll get to Nike signs a $12 million pickleball endorsement deal. We'll get to that. You know, I love talking about Mark Fincham emails. Right,
we've noticed that.
Right, I mean, it's just the best, and we know that he had some. There's some company back in Silver Spring, Maryland, that's sending these out and taking a huge chunk of the money. That's how those work, right? With, you know, send me $1, send me $7, you know, happy fraudmas in July, and all this other stuff, right? So, with the reports that came out, we'll give you how much he spent with Go Right Strategies. And how much Go Right made off of, just, you want to know about, you know, people say, well, I don't want to give to a charity if not much money is actually getting to the charity.
Exactly. And for that, you look at Charity Navigator. On political stuff, the smart advice, give to the campaign.
Correct.
Directly to the campaign.
Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If we charity navigated the percentage of money that went to the actual candidate on this one, it's somewhere between an F and a D, so we'll get to that. I mean, wait till I give you the money. It's hot. It's super hot.
And that's just dumb. I would think he'd have a great mailing list where he can go direct.
Yeah, everyone's confusing intelligence and Mark Fincham in the same sentence. He's, come on.
And these firms do have a tremendous mailing list and a great deal of reach, but like you say, it's virtually always a rip.
Rich Lowry, New York Post: Biden followed the Obama vilification playbook, and now he's stuck with overheated rhetoric. So we'll get to that and how it plays into a variety of things. We're going to have a video we're going to play. It's a Milwaukee voter explains why she's voting for Trump. And if the RNC doesn't play this during the general election, they're dumbasses. John King on CNN had everyone melting down talking about an electoral college blowout by Trump.
We can only hope.
You are correct. We don't take any of that crap for granted. DeSantis torches the left in his RNC speech.
And DEI, he had a great line about that.
Divisive, exclusionary.
And indoctrination.
Indoctrination, correct. Then also last night, Carrie Lake spoke. Same crap, different day. If you're going to, either you just speak to the crowd or you use the camera to speak to America, right? And she did the speak to the crowd and she did the same tired thing. It was so great to see everyone except, oh, she did the Trump thing from 9 years ago, except the fake news up there. Look at them, everyone. I'm kind of going, God, you suck. You are just the worst candidate ever. Just the worst. We got to talk about what the massive storm did to Gap Ministries on Sunday.
And what the massive storm did to my backyard. You would not believe it.
Oh, my gosh. And then, of course, I was at the sausage shop Monday, so I did walk over to the AutoZone on Prince and Fairview to see
right
the missing wall.
The street.
So, and then is a great pop-up store for all the oil filters at the fentanyl camp at Jacobs Park, so it'll be fine. They scrambled in there, I bet, like Jawas stealing stuff. Bob Menendez guilty of taking bribes in cash and gold, which will go back to that great Jon Stewart rant about what he actually did when he went home after he got his first chunk of gold.
Does that have anything to do with the freezer?
A little. It's what his Google search was. Tucson Unified School District gets $600,000 of taxpayer money for Afghan refugees. Businesses on Oracle losing income as TEP power outage continues. Elon Musk plans to move SpaceX and X out of California. We got a headbutting at the LT14 meeting. Oh, yeah. Like Randy Macho Man Savage versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Wow.
But it's Boomer Republicans.
Getting WWF fake rubber mallets and pounding each other with them.
We're going to talk about this Amber Rose speech at the RNC and how the CNN people are freaking out. And which will go to the variety of people who are speaking at the RNC so far.
There is a variety of freaking out on the left.
Correct.
Just, they are so easily triggered.
Me too. Me too, Barney. I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to break. Barney Brenner, Christy Simone. I was in the mood for, it's just some old classic country today. So we're doing old classic country Wednesday here. And let's start with
Thank you.
Mr. Johnny Cash, a little Folsom Prison Blues. Wake up, Tucson. All right, we went right for the throat on this one. 6:24 in the morning, we went right to one of the greatest bump songs in the history of Wake Up Tucson, which is Eastbound and Down by Gerald Reed, not Gerald McRaney. Dan Shearer is coming up in about 8 minutes or so. Barney Brenner and I are locking down a Wednesday here. Let's get I want to get to Mark Fincham because this has been such a great thing. When he gave us
round two,
round 47. So he really caught our attention last Christmas because everything is dire. Everything is, I don't know if strident's even strong enough a word for these emails. So he basically has a sweatshop at a Silver Spring, Maryland, Western Virginia, one of those wonderful suburbs, right? And you just know there's some nerds in cubicles banging out all over the country, and how Mark is the only one who's going to save liberty in the end. He's like Nicolas Cage from National Treasure, right?
Well, a word in defense
of Nicolas Cage.
Of Mr. Fincham.
Yes.
You know, he is a patriot. Loves the country.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I guess I'm done.
God bless you.
Well, but some of the things he does.
So remember, if you're someone giving him $7, you obviously know nothing, right? Because you could just see that he lost by 200,000 votes. 200,000! But again, the 200,000. He had 200. Let me say this again. I apologize. He had 200,000 less votes than Kimberly Yee. Right? Because he was the most repulsive MAGA candidate on the ballot. All right? So last Christmas, he said Felice Navi fraud. That was,
I mean, he just teed it up. Just ran with it. That's all.
And so Felice Navi fraud, and then we had the Wakeys call up with all of their fraudulent holidays, right? And then also he's not a big fan of any fraudulent breakfast sausage. I don't want any of that chorizo. Better be real pork and stuff in there. I want real fat, okay? So Cameron Sanchez, she's at the Republic. She was going through the campaign finances because Fincham thinks that Ken Bennett's the devil. Right? The guy who went through all of the cyber ninja electoral stuff. And remember, Fincham used to live in Oral Valley. Then he moved to the West Valley of Phoenix, but he's running against the guy in Prescott. Just to let everybody know. Right? And you think Rachel Jones and Wadsack have geography problems where they live. Okay? Now, so LDO, so I want math on the air. Matt, whip out the adding machine, please. Now, let's have Barney do this in his head. This will be better, okay?
Darn, on the spot. Hey, I'm not as sharp as I used to be.
This is one of my favorite things to do to poor Barney is just drop this crap on him. Here we go. Barney, he raised $212,000, but the company in the sweatshop collected 152,000 of it.
Oh my goodness. That would be 73 1/2%.
That's not bad. It's 72%. Good job.
Darn.
Well played, Brenner.
Nope, I was wrong. I missed it.
To be exact, it's 71.9, but pretty good, buddy. So just to let you know this, when you give your $7 for some god-awful reason to Mark Fincham, 72% is going to the sweatshop in Silver Spring, Maryland. That's crazy. One paying for those guys' strippers in D.C.
That's a crazy percentage.
is that a Charity Navigator F right there?
I don't think you got to drop down a few letters of the alphabet. That's
an H?
H for horrid.
Felice Navi overpaid. Mark Fincham, go away, man. You're just amazingly annoying. We got to go to break. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 72% went to Fincham's sweatshop. That is the best. Mwah! Chef's kiss for my boy Mark Fincham. I'm going to shut up. Tennessee Ernie, who's much better than I am, is going to be singing, talking, whatever he's going to do. Old mama, Cajun mama? Cajun queen, that's right. He got in trouble. Wake up. No, that's Big John. Damn it. Wake up. All right. We're heading to the land of front door parking spots and pickleball. Before we get to Dan, big news. A spokesman for Nike has just confirmed that athletic apparel giant has just finished signing a $12 million pickleball endorsement deal with Ethel Jenkins, an 82-year-old New York and Florida snowbird. So
you are so behind on the news, because guess what we're working on? A story about the next big thing, which is disc golf. Now, Frisbee golf. I know that it's been around for decades, but suddenly we've got three areas down here either putting in or contemplating new courses. And I'm trying to figure out why. Is this just a happenstance, or is this the next big thing? So we'll see.
I'm going to vote happenstance.
Yeah, I don't think pickleball has a challenger yet, but I think that there's a lot of interested people in this thing. And like I said, it's been around for decades, but things just suddenly explode at some point. So we will see if that actually is going to happen down here. Wait for the reporting, gbnews.com.
Well, you mentioned either in the works or contemplating. Is there something actually where ground's been broken?
Well, for the town, it has been. Town of Sarita, they are. They had one that they closed down a while ago for various reasons I won't get into. They're planning a bigger one, so that one's actually a thumbs up. Then there's a thumbs up at a place in Green Valley. It's just going to have three, I guess they would call it three holes. It's very small, but so that's a go. And then people are trying to convince Quail Creek, which is one of our planned communities out here. It's kind of like Saddlebrook-ish, to take 17 acres of theirs that really could not be developed for home sites and actually use it for this purpose. So we'll see if that one actually goes through. So a little of everything.
So I want two things here. I want to explain what this, I want to say sport, athlete, this thing is, okay? So some drunk dudes, okay, took old Frisbees and try to throw it in a garbage can. That is frolf. Okay, or disc golf. So, Dan, am I oversimplifying? Throwing it, you're literally throwing a frisbee into a garbage can. Yes or no?
No, that's a deeper explanation than it deserves. you throw it at a pole, and the thing that keeps it from bouncing off the pole and into the bin or whatever is that it has chains around it, and those kind of like envelop it. Just think like a spider web or something, and it falls in there, and then you're done. So, but really what it does is it gets people out there walking, and like I said, it's been around forever, but I'm wondering, gosh, why suddenly are these three areas contemplating more. So
now the other thing is here, just to help. So let's go. Everything goes back to South Park, Simpsons, or Seinfeld, right? So George was involved in a frolf game, an impromptu frolf game, and this is where he was supposed to get those invitations for Jerry's girlfriend's party, and that's where he slipped. And remember, he was fake. He was working on his frolf throw, and he slipped on down the stairs, and he hurt himself. That's frolf.
Well, we call it disc golf, and we'll see if it's a big thing. I sense that it's, like Barney suggested, maybe just happenstance.
You know, it's a fad like the monkeys. It'll be fine. One more thing on pickleball, because we're shameless pluggers. Our friend Katarina Kruger, who owns the Clio shop in the St. Phillips Plaza, she has a table of the most fashionable pickleball stuff I've ever seen in my life. So if you're a lady who wants to be even fashionable pickleball paddles with like floral designs and things like that, way hot, man. I love it.
And you just took us back to the 70s with Jane Fonda and Olivia Newton-John in workout gear, and everybody spent hundreds of dollars on workout gear. Nobody worked out, but they looked good as they were walking to the gym that they actually never entered the doors of. So,
well, that physical video by Olivia Newton-John got many a boy through the night. That's all I'll tell you.
Yeah. Hello.
So what do you think about the 72% of every dime raised by Mark Fincham went to the sweatshop in D.C.? Is that the best?
No, if you're asking me if I'm surprised, I would ask you why you aren't. I mean, why you would not have expected this. I mean, come on. You
know? I'm clutching the pearls hard right now, Dan.
Well, this is like Menendez yesterday after he's convicted of fraud and all these awful things, selling the country down the river, saying, I've never been involved in any fraud. I've never, you know, then why do you have $150,000 in gold bars in your house and all this cash? And my wife and I were watching the news broadcast yesterday, and he said, well, you know, my parents, when they came from Cuba, they had to hide cash in the grandfather clock to get it here. And I said, that's 75 years ago. Get over it. And it wasn't you. So these people, I guess the question in this is the same journalism question I've always had, and that is, we know about this, but boy, we don't know about so much other stuff going on, and I wish we did.
So you brought up Menendez. So I'm telling you, this is the best. So he goes to Egypt, gets on the plane with his gold bar, comes back to Jersey. And the FBI has his computer records. He literally, once he got home, Googled how much does a bar of gold cost right now. That was literally.
But there's a $10,000 limit on bringing, well, cash in anyway. How do you get by?
Right. In your shoe? I don't know. But I tell you, how much gold is worth your integrity? How many Mercedes or nice homes?
Easy question, Dan. Yeah, so. When you don't have any integrity, it's not an equation.
Well, that actually might be our answer, is that he either thought he was, it's perfectly fine to do that. I mean, if I'm elected, I'm allowed to do whatever I want. Or, he just didn't care. So what a pitiful situation. And like I said, I know it goes on a whole lot more than we know about.
Tell me about what did you learn at the Pima County Board meeting yesterday? Anything? What caught your attention? I know you have a thing about people post Trump shooting talking at the thing, but what would you pick up from yesterday's meeting?
What I picked up from yesterday's meeting was what happened out of the view of the people, and I'm still kind of looking at it. I'm going to talk to a candidate for Matt Hines's seat, a Republican candidate, Corey Stevens, Beatrice Stevens. She apparently had a little altercation with him. As you notice at the first part of the meeting, he is not there. This is during the call to the public. He likes to avoid that because he doesn't like people yelling at him and telling him what to do. Although you serve the people, we have to remind him every once in a while. So he doesn't show up. And then about 20 after 10, he pops up on the screen, clearly from home, decides to log into the meeting. Then they go into an executive session, and he shows up at the meeting place. and he can't get in. And I have a video of this. And and he's banging on the door, and they don't let people in. You know, they're in exec session. This is the way it is. Now, there is a super secret way in for people like him. He either didn't know about it or forgot.
He's not there
whatever.
Enough.
So, he's back there making bagels in the break room while, you know, doing call to the public. And I can tell you, this sticks in my craw big time. We actually did a story, I don't know, last year, maybe a year and a half ago, and the headline was, "Where's Matt?" Because he just isn't showing up at meetings, or he's logging in from cruises, or he... did I go there?
Do you have a Where's Waldo graphic on that?
I'm about to do that. And
perfect.
And this was really frustrating to me. And they had a verbal exchange, and only part of it's caught on the video. And so, you know, at which point it now becomes she says that he said this to her, but there's really no evidence, all that type of stuff. But really, the funny part, though, is just flat out there that he was, you know, banging on the door and they didn't let him in. And it's like, hey, maybe you can be on time for the meetings. And I will say one thing that she alleges was said is that he said, look, I have four jobs. And she says, well, I have a job too, but I still managed to get to these meetings on time. But the question is, you have four jobs, but yeah, you're being paid to do this one, and right now, why can you not be here?
And
yeah,
being aboard a soup is considered a full-time job.
And which of your other three jobs has you being there during the meeting that you can't attend?
Right, exactly. So, and I'm trying to count his jobs because we know he's a doctor. We know he's on the board of supervisors. And we know he has this wine bar or something.
He also says he has a scribe business, like a medical scribing business. I've heard him talk about that also. And then
medical transcription.
Right. Sure. Then he brought up like his father. Oh, I have to take care of my father. So he's got like seven jobs now, but he's got a wine bar. Let me tell you something. If Judy Rich, when she was running TMC, whoever's running TMC, said he needed to be at a meeting, he'd be there.
Right. 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 And this is the thing that gets me. So now we have no Democratic challenger. He's my supervisor. So it's part of Sarita, but it also goes on up into Tucson, which is more heavily Democratic. And so if he had to stand on a vote just in the town of Sarita, he'd be voted out tomorrow. But I can tell you that this is the concern. He has no Democratic challenger in the primary, and in the GOP primary, we have John Backer, who I always have to throw in, I know personally, and then we have Corey Beatrice Stevens. And so one of them will be up against him in the general. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the chances are because, face it, most people just don't pay that close of attention.
So I just think about this. This whole thing yesterday with Matt Hines is him in a nutshell, right? So like he's not there for the call to the audience. Then he shows up on video. Then he shows up out of nowhere, and he's knocking on the door, and he can't get into the meeting. That is freaking amazing.
That is him in a nutshell. And I keep going back to what Supervisor Steve Christie has said, and that is, hey, I don't like being out there either. You get some, you know, you get roughed up, but it's part of the job. It's part of the job. And so, and I really believe that. And I see it going on at our council meetings and other meetings around town. Heck, we just had a congressional hearing here in Sarita. This is for the people. Part of that meeting is for the people. And we already know that they cut down drastically what the people were able to say, time-wise, and which is too bad, but I get it. But you go out there because it's the job, and you know it when you ran for it. So
here's some before we go to break. Well, we'll just leave you with some Matt on Matt comedy. Moonlight Matt Hines 57 jobs. I love it. Hines 57 jobs.
There we go.
I love it. All right, Dan, hold on. We got to take a break. We got a quick segment back with Dan. GVNews.com for all the best in frolf. Or disc golf news. So he's hiring right now at $28 an hour, a frolf reporter that only works on frolf.
I wish.
You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Happy hour tonight at Games and Gadgets at Tucson Mall inside the Short Rest Tavern. Wake up. Can you do this song anymore? Can a white guy do a tight-fitting jeans song in 2024? I don't know. We're hanging out with Dan Shearer. Dan, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
Let's do the Kim Smith piece about this this horrible situation with a domestic violence and a case being dismissed. Tell me about that.
Very interesting. It'll probably be refiled. We'll have to see. But in August, we had a woman here named Taisha Wayne who plugged her boyfriend 7 times in their garage, and he's no longer with us. And this, of course, opened the door to everything about their lives. And there had been a lot of domestic violence on both sides. And she was arrested. She was indicted on the murder charge. That then a judge came back and very, very strangely said she needs to go before a grand jury a second time and be able to tell her story, which, having just sat on a grand jury, I can tell you is extremely rare, but it is allowed that the victim can come in and speak directly to the jury. They indicted her again, and then a judge threw the case out. Now, there's some audio and some video and some witnesses and all this type of stuff, and clearly she shot this man, you know, dead. But why is she getting off? Well, it's very interesting in these cases, and we see it on TV a lot, where in this case, advocates for domestic violence victims, of course, have lined up behind her and decided that she's an innocent woman and should be released. Well, this is what we see from activists and advocates all the time. You know, a kid is shot in the streets by the police, and next thing you know, you have the Reverend Al Sharpton in front of a bank of microphones saying that this was a travesty and the cops are awful people and we want millions of dollars for this family. Before the evidence is there, before the body is even cold a lot of times, and they decide that they know what went on. Well, in this case, cooler heads need to prevail here, and we need to hear all the evidence. But the judge dismissed the case because he was frankly just getting impatient. Because they were trying to extract something from a phone and they couldn't, and he said, "Well, the case is dismissed."
Where's Conover's office on this? What's been their attitude towards this case?
Well, they are the prosecutors who were asking the judge to push the trial date out a little bit so they could extract this information from the phone and get it. And so now we talked to the Sarita police chief, and he says, we are getting that information. We have told them we're getting that information. We will get it to them, and they fully expect the charges to be refiled on that. But I will say that to allow her to not face trial would be a win, for political win, I think, for some people. Who might be running for county attorney. Now, I'm not saying she's doing this because really, again, her prosecutors are asking for, you know, the opportunity to have time to get more evidence out there. But this has been a closely watched case in our area and, again, among domestic violence victim advocates. So there's something going on here, but again, it speaks to our impatience. And again, the guy was shot last August, and you know what? These things take time to sift through, get the information. They both had been arrested in the past for domestic violence. There's a lot of back and forth here. So what happened that day? Clearly he hit her. I mean, we have photos of that, but be patient, folks, and let's just do this right. But what happens is that the activists go out there, then everybody on social media feels that they have to take a side and weigh in when they don't know anything. And then they have to kind of stick to their positions because they look foolish if they back off from them. And this is how we get this chaos, which is so prevalent in the country today. So,
well, Dan, thanks for a nice conversation, as always. You gave me a great laugh. Just the image of Matt Hines couldn't get into the meeting and banging on the door is the best.
Very good.
So, in your video, do you actually see him knocking on the door?
Yes.
Yes.
Perhaps somebody will share this with you.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Dan. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to play Steve Christie questioning Frank Knott on the Mosaic deal when we come back. As Leonard Nimoy would say in a certain sci-fi movie, TV show.
$100 billion.
Fascinating.